the music. Cut the music.
I think I got my swagger back. Oh, oh, oh.
Spectacular group of men. You go find them. You throw your arms around them. You give them a big kiss on the mouth if you're a girl.
All the band is out on the field. He's going to go into the end zone.
There goes Davis.
Oh, my God.
Davis is going to run it all the way back. Auburn's going to win the football game. Auburn's going to win the football game.
Like poison. Like rat poison.
Are you going to listen to me or are you going to listen to these guys?
All right, and now welcome on Rossi Three Stacks, as he does just about every week on the podcast, coming on for a little bit of a different flavor this week. You know, Rossi, we normally do I Aim to Tease, and, and you know, I'll be honest, I didn't even ask if you had teasers this week. Maybe you do, maybe you don't. Do you?
I do not.
Okay,
I do
good.
Not. Surprise
good.
Pick here, I don't. So the last time I was on, as the listeners I'm sure remember, we nailed it. Nailed it.
We did nail it.
I stopped at, I believe, four games, which was smart, savvy veteran move. All four games in the teaser zone. All four hit. 3-1 against the spread, so you could have made some good money that way, or the old-fashioned teaser way. It was a good showing, but I thought maybe I'd just kind of go out on top with that this year. I'm sure I'll get back into it later in the year, but I'm take some time off, enjoy my winnings.
Go out on top. Give me a break. You are not retiring from gambling after one four-team teaser.
Buddy, you understand how much money I won on that, like, $20 four-team teaser?
Oh, I can only imagine.
Like $30.
Well, man, that's retirement money right there. Who needs a 401k when you got when you have I Aim to Tease every week?
Paid off my mortgage and everything.
Well, I know you know this, but for the listeners out there, I had a six-team parlay last week. I actually – of course this happened. Of course this happened. And if people are listening are going to call BS on me, and I don't really care. But last week, the first time all season, I didn't actually tweet out or put on the podcast my picks for the week. And of course, I go 5-1 naturally. Like, just the only week where I've actually been. I mean, I think I had one other week where I did really well.
But I can confirm you sent me a screenshot of your bet slip.
This is true. There is evidence.
There is evidence. I saw it and I was following along with you. Yeah. And sure enough, half a point by Boston College. Not great.
Yep. So 5-0. So I bet every week I bet them all individually. And then I just throw $20 or whatever it is on a parlay. Like just for kicks and giggles. You never know. Like just maybe they all hit. And lo and behold, all five of them hit up until Clemson, Boston College. And I happen to get BC at 19.5, which that line earlier in the day, I think, certainly earlier in the week, was 20 or 20 and a half. I think it might have even been 21 at one point. But regardless, like there was a time where I could have gotten Boston College outside of that number, and instead I got 19 and a half, and they lost by 20. Oh, that really hurt. It really hurt.
Yeah, that one would sting. Yeah. I'm sorry, Stan. You can have some of my teaser winnings if you want.
That's okay. I'll leave that all to you. I would hate to really just pull away from your riches there. So anyway, so today, instead of doing teasers, I figured you'd be a great guy to come on and roast my rankings. So hashtag roast my rankings is the theme of the podcast today. We're gonna do, you know how I love my rankings, first of all. And I was thinking about the Louisville job earlier this week. I had Mark Ennis on the podcast earlier this week to talk about Louisville. And I asked him, I said, is Louisville a top 25 job? And when you think about top 25, I mean, you think about the normal connotation with that. Good program, a lot of bowl games, probably a... you know, I wouldn't say national championship contending team most years, but a team you feel like is going to make a New Year's Six Bowl wouldn't surprise you. Like that to me is like a new top 25 job. There are schools, I started to make the list, there are schools outside the top 25 of this ranking I put together that absolutely could play in New Year's Six Bowls. I don't know about most years, but it wouldn't surprise you. I mean, there's a lot of really good programs, and you get through the obvious ones, you get through the top, you know, 10, maybe even 15, whatever. And then there's a lot of programs there where you're like, man, like I don't know. I mean, you can rank them, whatever, but it just there's good programs that got left out of the top 25.
Absolutely. Yep.
So I'm going to kind of go through it. I'm going to go five teams at a time, and then we can kind of break them down that way, keep it moving. Okay. I said this is top 25, but I did do 26 through 30. I just felt
Need an honorable mention.
I felt like it was good to have honorable mentions. I felt like it was good to have some context of like, okay, here's who I included, but you need to know who I had just on the outside looking in.
Yeah.
So anyway,
the JP top 30.
The JP top 30 coaching jobs. These are coaching jobs. This is not, you know, coaches not or teams. Anything like that. Teams, no, no, no. It's just what are the best
jobs?
That's
an important distinction. That will become an important distinction when you get especially into like the upper echelon of the jobs.
Yeah, and I also think about like what are the best jobs right this moment? Like, for instance, like Clemson is going to be higher today than they would have been 8 years ago. Because Dabo Swinney's turned that into a premier job. So it's a little bit of a sliding scale. It's at the
well, think,
moment.
So think about it. Here's how I was looking at it. Every job comes open tomorrow for whatever reason. There's a shuffle, and then there's a lottery to determine who gets to pick which job they want.
Yeah.
And which jobs do they take and in what order.
That's pretty fair. So if there's a purge tomorrow and only college football coaches are affected – then we will. this is what the ranking would be.
Yep.
All right. So 26 through 30, really quickly. I had UNC at 30, which is mm-hmm. which is another. That's hot in the streets right now.
Man, you were starting off hot for me.
No, I had Carolina 30. I had Louisville 29. I had West Virginia 28, which that was the first one. You're like, man. I mean, West Virginia is a top 10 team right now. A lot of tradition at West Virginia. And I couldn't find a way to put him in the top 25. Maybe somebody's going to find a way to argue with that. But 27, South Carolina, and 26, Virginia Tech. So I have Virginia Tech on the outside of the top 25, which is another one. The team that's played in, won four ACC titles in the last 15 years. And, I mean, I know that they've been down. I think if you had done this ranking 6 years ago, it's kind of the opposite of Clemson. If you had done this ranking 6 years ago, I think the Tech job is probably in the top 15, close to the top 15 at least. And now it's kind of, I think it's faded a little bit where it's not quite the job it once was. And just there's some other factors there too. But I think that Virginia Tech is on the cusp. I just, when you start to see the teams I have ahead of them, I'd love to find who can make a case ahead of Virginia Tech. So those are the honorable mentions. Let's go right into the top 25. So
okay,
number 25, I'll read off all five here. 25, Tennessee. 24, Nebraska. 23, Stanford, 22, Michigan State, and 21, Washington. Rose my rankings.
Okay, so I had all of those teams basically in that general vicinity. I did not have Washington in the top 25, actually, which I think speaks a lot to the job that Chris Peterson has done out there.
Yeah.
I don't think that Washington, without – a premier coach is a premier coaching destination. That's my opinion. I think everything else is fair. I had Michigan State at 25. I think they're absolutely in that same ballpark. I have Tennessee a little higher. The reason I have Tennessee a little bit higher on my list is I think the facilities, the stadium is huge. The fans are crazy. And I think like a passionate fan base like that is just something you can't replicate. Now it's not as good of a job because they have to play in the SEC. So there are a lot of built-in, really tough games right there. But they tend to recruit extremely well every year, regardless of who's the coach. And I think with the right coach and a program you can recruit to, I think they should be a little higher. I've got them number 16, I'm sorry, on my list.
And I gut instinct, I wanted to rank Tennessee higher. But you talk about those fans. I kind of think the fans bring that ranking down. And – they're passionate, they're great, but the expectations at Tennessee are probably as unrealistic as any program in the country. And look, the fact of the matter is they haven't won an SEC championship since, I want to say, 2002 or 2003, somewhere in that vicinity. They obviously haven't won a national title or played for one since 1998. Shout out to T. Martin. It's been so long since they were relevant, but yet every single year – those fans expect, no matter what, those fans expect them to win 10, 11 games and play for an SEC title and more. And I think it's really, really hard for, Butch Jones did himself no favors. It obviously went south quickly. That administration has just kind of botched that program for the last 10 years. I just think it's like Jeremy Pruitt is facing a really far uphill battle. He's doing a great job. But Tennessee, they just had a heck of a win over Kentucky a week ago. They're clearly moving in the right direction, but can they reach the level that the Tennessee fans expect them to reach quickly enough? Like it's all well and good that they might go, 6-6 this year. Fans kind of understand, begrudgingly, they understand that they'll tolerate 6-6 1 year. I think immediately next year the expectation for Tennessee, especially the way they've played down the stretch, fans are going to be ready for a 9 or a 10-win season. I just don't know that Tennessee is going to be able to make it that far, and then you're starting to battle those expectations again, not to mention you're competing against Georgia and Florida in your own division.
Yeah, that, to me, that's the biggest thing. But I think you're right, and with any job, not just a college football coaching job, with any job, performance expectations are a huge part of it. Like, everybody kind of wants to be able to go into a job where they can succeed and expectations are going to be realistic, or else it's not going to work out. And it's especially true there. So I think you're smart to factor that in. I may have them a little bit high. I might be riding high after seeing that they've got some, you know, really big recruits coming in and that they just won a big game. So that's very much recency bias, but I think you're right. And that's an important factor in the discussion.
Well, I didn't even really plan it this way, but it is interesting. I ended up with Tennessee and Virginia Tech side by side because I had this debate in the past. Well, I had it when a year ago when Tennessee came open and Justin Fuente, I thought was a dark horse name for that job. And we were asking, you know, well, what's a better job, Tech or Tennessee? Look, resources and money, stadium, tradition, like it's all Tennessee. But, I mean, is Tennessee, does that stuff outweigh the pressure that comes with that job when you can be at Virginia Tech? And now Fuente's feeling the heat a little bit right now.
Sure.
But, I mean, he would be fired if this was Tennessee and they'd had the same trajectory. Well, I don't know if he'd be fired. He would be a lot more on the line right now. His job would be more on the line than it is in Blacksburg. There's some fans who are mad. But in Tennessee, if you win 9-10 games and all of a sudden you win 4 – I mean, they are ready to send you out of town immediately, and I don't sense that same thing at Virginia Tech. Like, lower expectations sometimes aren't a bad thing. Mm-hmm. When
completely agree.
Yeah, and I think that's the interesting case there with the Vols. But, you know, yeah, Washington, the other one, like Nebraska's in there. Nebraska's low. I mean, for the amount of tradition that they have, they probably should be higher, but I just think it's so hard to recruit there. If they don't get it done with Scott Frost, it's never happening. I mean, he is the perfect coach for them. They're not going to get a coach who is young, energetic, innovative offense, went undefeated at Central Florida, like a place like that. Like, Scott Frost could have taken the Florida job. You're never that's I think the best way to put it. The only reason they have Scott Frost is obviously because he was the chosen son from Nebraska, played quarterback there. You're not going to find another guy who's going to turn down Florida to take Nebraska anymore.
Right.
So I think that's what Nebraska is kind of fighting right now. If they can't get it done with Scott Frost, they never will. I actually think Frost is going to, or has turned it around, to be honest with you.
Yeah, I think he'll do really well.
For sure. So, all right, so that's 21 through 25. Mm-hmm. 20 through 16, here we go. So I've got Auburn at 20. I've got Wisconsin at 19. I've got TCU 18. I've got Oklahoma State 17, and I've got Oregon 16. Now, this was a really tricky one because there are a lot of schools in there, especially the Oregon, Oklahoma State, like a lot of money at those schools, which I factored in here.
Right.
But what do you think here? So one more time, Auburn 20, Wisconsin right above them, TCU 18, 17 Oklahoma State, 16 Oregon.
Oh, I wrote that down backwards when you were typing it. Okay, that's pretty good. I did not have Oklahoma State quite that high. I had them in my top 25. They were in my – where did I have them? Like 22, I think. That's interesting. You're right about the resources. I think playing in the Big 12 as opposed to the SEC is probably appealing. There are just fewer tough games. I mean, obviously, Texas, who will be much higher up on this list than Oklahoma. But beyond that, I guess maybe less competition – which is a good thing. You know, winning tradition, obviously it's a good thing. So I can see that. Oregon is about right exactly where I had them. Totally agree there. Interested in TCU. I had them in my top 25 also, but you've got them 6 slots higher than me. What are your thoughts on TCU being number 18?
Honestly, I think that in the last 15 years, they've been a better program than Texas. They've been not quite the program that Oklahoma has been, but if you look at the record over the last 15 years, like especially since they've joined the Big 12, like there's not a lot to separate TCU and Oklahoma. And I think when you're in Dallas, and now that they're fully ingrained in the Big 12, they've proven that they belong in the Big 12 as a true contender. The money is coming in; it's different than when they were in the Mountain West. that just seems like a program that's on the rise. Gary mm-hmm. Patterson's done such a great job. Not a great time to be talking about them because they're having an awful year, but I think they're just now coming around to where they're hitting their stride, where they can build a full Big 12 caliber roster year in and year out. I just think going forward, they're going to be much more set up for success, whether it's Gary Patterson or not.
Yeah.
I just think would love to have that job if you were anybody wanting to go into Dallas and take over that program.
No doubt, being in Dallas in the heart of, you know, Texas recruiting country, that's huge. How long has Gary Patterson been there?
So he, man, I'll have to pull it up. I mean, it's definitely been 20 years. I mean, he was LaDainian Tomlinson's coach.
2000 to present. So that is my – and there's no doubt that he has elevated that program to where it is, to where whomever the next coach is going to inherit a much better job than when Gary Patterson was there.
Oh, yeah.
I get worried about somebody who's been there for 18 years, and is it – you know, not a one coach program. Obviously TCU had some level of success and brand recognition before that, but I think Gary Patterson has done such a good job that maybe the next coach might not be able to sustain that same level of success. Mm-hmm. I don't think there's just built in success at TCU. Again, I still had them a top 25 job. I'm nitpicking.
Yeah.
But I think having them ahead of some of the other folks like an Auburn, I think is interesting.
Well, when I compare them to Auburn, again, this is a lot about who you have to play week in, week out.
Mm-hmm.
Like I Auburn would be, if Alabama didn't exist, Auburn would be probably closer to 10. But I put him at 20 because as long as Alabama's there and Nick Saban's there, I wouldn't want that job. You are fighting a losing battle at Auburn every year. And don't forget this, too, about Auburn. Their cross-division rival is Georgia.
Right.
Like they have to play Georgia every year, and they play them 2 weeks before they play Alabama every year. Like,
it's a gauntlet.
Gus Malzahn needs to go. He's got a lot of other problems on his hands, too, but he needs to go to the commissioner, Greg Sankey, right now and just be like, can we move Georgia at least a month away from Alabama? Because even last year, they upset Georgia, they upset Alabama, and they were out of gas. By the time they got to Atlanta for the SEC title game, Kerryon Johnson, I mean, his body literally broke down on the field, and they lose that game. I mean, that is so impossible. And that, by the way, not to go on a tangent, is the exact reason why somebody like UCF has no business playing for a college football playoff, because going through a gauntlet like what Auburn had to go through it's not even comparable to UCF and having to play Temple and East Carolina and whatever other riffraff they have to take. But on your TCU point, so you got a little Jim Calhoun theory is what it sounds like to me with Gary Patterson. It's like one coach has kind of been the program. Frank Beamer, kind of the same thing at Virginia Tech, where you wonder, does this can a coach come in and sustain that success when really there wasn't much to speak of in the immediate prior to that coach taking over?
And obviously, you know, Gary Patterson is not as synonymous with TCU as Frank Beamer was with Virginia Tech or Jim Calhoun was with UConn, right? I don't think he's quite as synonymous, like in terms of you do name recognition, like, or just word association with average sports fans, and you say TCU, they're going to say Andy Dalton, Horned Frogs. Like, I don't really know what else. Josh Dotson.
Kevontae Turpin,
Aaron Green.
Now we're just going down a daily fantasy rabbit hole.
And you say UConn basketball. You say Emeka Okafor,
Kemba Walker,
Rip Hamilton, and then Jim Calhoun was probably up there. Virginia Tech, Michael Vick, Frank Beamer. That's maybe not. My point though is I think probably he's less tied into those, you know, as a legacy. Obviously, he's done a great job. Been there a long time. Which is why I still do have them as a top 25 job. That was just, we're nitpicking. I just thought it was interesting to have them again ahead of some of those.
So if you were, if tomorrow Gary Patterson and Gus Malzahn retire and they come to Ross Tudor and they say, all right, which job? They give you the same contract. Everything's identical. You get to choose TCU or Auburn. You're taking Auburn?
Well, I guess under the scenario I laid out before, yes.
Ooh, good luck. Good luck. That's all I have to say. Yeah.
Although the flip side of that, living in Dallas sure would be better than living in Auburn, Alabama.
You're not kidding. So
I guess that is one factor I did not put into the RT top 30.
The old RT top 30. You didn't factor in the old family life. Come on, man. That's like reason number one or
two.
Should
be top of mind for me.
When any fan base starts to defend its coach, he's not going to leave. No, his family loves it here. Like that is number one. As if like you could never live in any other town. There's no elementary schools in your town. No, his family loves the schools. They don't want to move the kids. Like, yeah, okay. Well, I'm sure a few extra $1 million is going to keep them from keeping their kids in the same elementary school.
Well, if that is the criteria, now I'm going to have to rewrite the rankings. Put the University of Richmond number one.
Oh, for the school system.
This is the school system. This is a great place to raise a child, as far as I'm concerned.
Okay, well, I guess.
No, you're
right. Go Spiders.
You're right. You're right. I actually, that is a fair point. Living in Dallas is probably a lot more appealing than living in some of these other places.
Maybe so. All right. Well, speaking of places you want to live, number 15, I've got Miami. Number 14, well, Miami hater over here. I'm sure I'm ready for this.
Yeah.
Number 14, I've got Penn State. Number 13, this is where it gets hard. Like these schools, you're like, damn, these schools aren't top 10.
Right.
I mean, you want to put them top 10, but when I get up to the top, you're like, well, who do you take out? So anyway, yeah. 14 Penn State, 13 Florida State, 12 Ooh. Notre Dame.
Okay.
And 11 Texas A&M.
Oh, I thought we were finally going to have one that matched up exactly.
Oh, were we getting there?
We're getting close. I think that'll happen at some point.
Okay.
Interesting, though. So ACC bias over here. I have Florida State and Miami much higher than you.
Okay.
I think when you start talking about expectations and quality of competition,
mm-hmm.
That those jobs start to get, and obviously being in Florida, recruiting hotbed, I think a good coach should be able to do exceptionally well there.
Yeah. I mean,
both of those places.
Yeah, I mean, they should. And again, it's when I get up to the schools above them, it's hard for me to say that they could have more success than some of the other schools. I mean, I think at this point, any school in the top 15 is capable of a national championship, should be capable of a national championship most years.
I mean, there's
nobody out in this top 15 is, I mean, all of them have won national titles. At least at some point, or have competed very heavily for them. I mean, maybe not Texas A&M, which they just have boatloads of money, which is why I have them here.
Yeah, I had Texas A&M 12th, so I was right on target with you.
Oh, the 12th man, huh? Yeah, I like that.
Hey, how appropriate.
Nice. So, yeah, I mean, look, Miami, their facilities are getting better. They're still not up to par with a lot of the other schools in the ACC. Florida State doesn't have a lot of the same facilities that some of the top schools in the ACC have. And that's something that the average fan doesn't really know, see, care about, or understand the impact that can have. But it does matter. And one of the reasons why Jimbo Fisher left Florida State was he was seeing what Clemson was doing and just the absolute just fortress that they were building for their football program. And Jimbo went to Florida State and said, I want what they have. And Florida State's boosters and administration, they balked at it. So I think that there's a – Both at Miami and Florida State, for slightly different reasons, there's a little bit of a hesitancy to go all in and try to compete in this arms race with some of the other schools. And I'm not trying to be anti-ACC here, but you look at the money that's coming into the Big Ten and to the SEC especially, it's outpacing the ACC. And even though the ACC network is coming next year, it's still not going to match the revenue that those conferences are getting, and they're 5 years behind already.
Sure. Yeah.
So I feel like we're starting to see the SEC, I think, even pull away. Like the middle of the SEC is going to start to separate itself from the middle of the rest of these conferences. And I mean, look at Kentucky, for instance. Like I've made this comment on the podcast before. I think I've told you too. I went to Kentucky in Lexington last year, and we went around and snuck into the football facilities before the basketball game. And Kentucky's football facilities were twice as nice as Virginia Tech's.
Yeah.
And Virginia Tech has pretty good facilities for an ACC program, like great facilities for an ACC program. And here you have Kentucky, who, other than Vanderbilt, is probably the worst football program in the conference, and their football facilities are world-class. So you just that was eye-opening to me. It's like, all right, you just see the impact that this money can have when you start talking about recruiting kids to come play at your school. And I mean, those things can start to add up over time. And that takes 5 to 10 years for you to really see the impact of that.
Sure.
For those smaller schools building up. So anyway, I mean, that's why I'm a little bit lower on Florida State and Miami.
That's interesting.
I just don't know that they could compete with some of the schools ahead of them. Where'd you have Notre Dame? Because I had them 12.
I had them 9th.
Okay.
So a little bit higher. I think Notre Dame is just such a unique school that, and certainly not tied to any one coach. Just the history, and this is a bias for me, having been to a game at Notre Dame and really appreciating just the history of everything. I can see how it's just such a cool campus, obviously a great academic institution. I can see how it would be very easy to recruit people there. Right. They're going to have a national pull no matter what. They're going to have the name recognition. They're going to be able to sell kids on being on TV, not prime time, but in great TV slots and prime time matchups. Every week, they're going to play an awesome schedule. I think Notre Dame is obviously an awesome place to coach. We're not too far apart there, 9 versus 12, but I think they're a top 10 program.
And, you know,
Top 10 coaching job.
Right. Dan Wetzel from Yahoo the other day wrote an article about how Notre Dame has proven everybody wrong, the fact that they haven't joined a conference and that they can survive without it. And I get where he was coming from, but I also disagree slightly with the idea just in terms of Notre Dame's ability to compete for a championship. Look, Notre Dame's undefeated right now. If they lose either of their next two games, I mean, I'm sorry. I just don't see a world in which they get into the playoff, barring just absolutely everybody losing around them. But if they're a one-loss team and there's four other one-loss conference champions,
right.
I don't think Notre Dame's getting in, even over Michigan, who they beat. So I think the conference thing's going to come back to bite them because, as we've seen, you don't have to go, if you're in a Power 5 conference, you don't have to go undefeated to have a chance to make the playoff. All you have to do is get through with one loss, usually, and win your conference, and you'll get in. Notre Dame, they have to go undefeated, in my mind. Just about any year, they're going to have to win every game. And they play, most of the time, they play a Power 5 caliber schedule. I mean, they're playing just as tough a schedule as Clemson. Oh. They're playing a tougher schedule than Clemson.
Exactly, yeah. They play one of the tougher schedules in the country, usually.
And they have less room for error. I just think that it's actually – I think it hurts them. But from a visibility standpoint, playing for NBC, playing on NBC, getting those 5 ACC games, so they're playing games in the Southeast. They're also the Shamrock series. They're playing in New York City this week. They've played in Dallas. They've played in L.A. They do a great job of getting around the country and playing in highly visible and populous areas. That's calculated, and that helps them stay relevant nationwide. But I just think that when we talk about championship contention, if they go undefeated, fine. But they just have less room for error and equally, if not harder, schedule than some of the teams that they're competing against for championships. So that's why I have them a little bit lower. I love the tradition and everything. I get it. But if you want to win a national title, I think there's an easier pathway at some of the other schools that I have in the top 10.
All right, I'll buy that.
So we'll go to the top 10 now. So Michigan, I have at 10. I have LSU 9, Oklahoma 8, I have Clemson 7, and I have Florida 6. What do you think?
We were so close. Say one more time. Michigan.
So Michigan 10, I have LSU 9, I have Oklahoma 8, Clemson 7, and Florida 6.
Interesting. So why LSU so much higher than Auburn?
I think it's easier to recruit in Louisiana. I think that there's more talent in the state of Louisiana, and LSU gets all of them. I mean, most of them. Now, to be fair, Texas and some other schools are starting to recruit Louisiana a little bit better. But if you have the right coach in there who can recruit, and Les Miles for a long time could recruit, you can pretty much wall off that state, and you're going to get 80% of the guys in that state. I think there's so much ridiculous talent down there. I think you're going to consistently out-recruit Auburn, and I understand you have Nick Saban to fight against. That's the argument I made against Auburn earlier. But that's it. I mean, I think there's more championship potential at LSU. I guess Auburn had 2 years. I mean, they had the Cam Newton year, which is kind of an anomaly. I mean, if you take Cam Newton and Nick Fairley off that team, they're nowhere close to a championship team.
Right.
No, I think the recruiting thing to me is the big deal. But you also are,
sure.
You also, I mean, it depends on how technical we want to get with this too, because LSU's administration is kind of a mess. So, I mean, I don't really want to go down that rabbit hole.
Okay. But, hey, fair enough.
But yeah, I mean, that's where I believe LSU would be a better job. I think it's easier to recruit there and build just, I mean, a roster full of NFL players, which they've had just about every year for the past 15 seasons.
Yeah, I agree. And I also had LSU higher than Auburn on my list, but not by as much.
Where'd you have them?
I had LSU for a lot of the same reasons. I had them at 14.
Ooh, interesting.
Wow. I had LSU 14 and Auburn 15. So when you said you said Auburn should be more like 10, but you had them at 20. I had split the difference exactly and had them at 15. And yep. I had LSU as a slight for a lot of all those same reasons as a slightly better job. But I still was scared off on both of them because of the Alabama factor. Right now, you know, you're just going into a losing battle every year.
Yeah, I mean, that I get it. There's something about LSU that makes me feel a little bit better about their chances. Man, they haven't been competitive with Alabama most years. I mean, Alabama's – to be fair, Auburn's had more success against Alabama than LSU has.
Right.
I mean, Auburn's beaten Alabama twice in the last five seasons. LSU hasn't won since 2011. I believe, right? Yeah, then the rematch in the SEC or in the national championship game. So, yeah, I mean, you could make a case. I just feel like there's more NFL talent in Louisiana than there is in Alabama. And Auburn has to go into Georgia to recruit quite a bit too, and they do very well.
Right.
But I would rather sit in Baton Rouge and be able to recruit that state than have to be Auburn. And plus LSU can go into Texas and recruit a little easier than probably Auburn can. You're closer to Texas. That's where I go. It just feels like a better, I won't say significantly better job, but I feel like if you ask me real quick, rapid fire, LSU or Auburn, I would answer LSU without really thinking twice.
Sure.
I don't know.
Oh, and again, I had them higher, just not by obviously by as much as you did. I just thought the difference between 9 and 20 was significant on your list.
Yeah. But, well, so Oklahoma, Clemson, and Florida have their 8 for Oklahoma, 7 Clemson, 6
yep.
Florida. Is there anything that stands out there?
Clemson outside of the top 5, I think, is interesting.
It's I'm kind of going into, with your logic about Gary Patterson, where Clemson's great and their money and facilities is outrageous. I don't know that they would be this good if they didn't have a coach who was this good. I mean, mm-hmm. I think they have the perfect coaching staff. They have the best blend of incredible assistants, a coach who's, for my money, the best recruiter outside of Nick Saban in the country, and that's why they're this good. I think if you put – I'm trying to think of who would be a coach that could go – heck, even Lincoln Riley. If Lincoln Riley was Clemson's coach, I don't think they would I think they would be as good as Oklahoma is now, and Clemson's a better program today than Oklahoma. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Like I think Clemson would be a elite program. I don't think they would be splitting hairs with Alabama, which is where they are now. So that's why I have them a little bit lower. You seem to have them higher.
Yeah, I think the facilities are a huge one, and I think they have built enough of a brand here in the Dabo years and done it with – I mean, I guess what, we're really only going on, what, the fourth year of them being great?
Yeah, this would be their fourth straight playoff. So yeah.
So maybe that's not quite a long enough, sustained success, but it's success at such a high level that I think they would be able to carry over that, especially with all the facility upgrades. They have made Clemson exceptionally cool. You're right in the middle of the Southeast, where you can easily go get kids from Georgia. You can own the state of South Carolina. You can really easily go into North Carolina and get some of those studs. So you're right in the middle of all that. I think you're just set up for success there. But again, I had them 4, you had them 7. So it's not like you're saying it's a bad job. It's splitting hairs. No. I think Clemson would be a top 5 program.
Well, and the competition factor. I mean, they are light years
ahead.
You get
to play Wake Forest and Boston College and NC State.
Yeah, I mean,
all due respect.
And I have Florida ranked right ahead of them. It's close. I just think Florida has more tradition. Resources are right there. Money is a little bit higher at Florida than it is at Clemson. As far as television revenue and things along those lines. And Clemson's booster support is I don't even get how they have so much support for what they do. But I would tend to lean Florida. I just think that the Gators have a it's close. I don't even know if I could make a definitive case for either one. Being in the ACC might be the nod. I might honestly flip Clemson and Florida. To me, they're very comparable, and there's an easier path for Clemson than there is for Florida. The one downside you could maybe make here, and this is similar to what I said about Notre Dame, like in this season, this is a little bit of an anomaly. ACC's down. But
yep.
If Clemson lost a game, there's a reasonable argument to be made they don't belong in the playoff.
Yeah.
And that might
they're certainly not getting any help from the Coastal in terms of picking up a win.
No.
In the championship game.
No. And if you're in the SEC, there's never going to be a time where a one-loss SEC champion doesn't make it. So from that standpoint, a little more wiggle room, I guess. The schedule's harder. I mean, it's kind of those go hand in hand. But to me, like if Florida beats Georgia and, you know, runs the table in the SEC and then loses an SEC championship game to Alabama, even as an at-large, I think you certainly have a better chance as an at-large in the SEC than you would in the ACC most years to get in. So I don't know. I feel it's close, but I get it. I wouldn't really fight anyone who would say that Clemson's ahead of Florida. So I've got – do you have any issue with Oklahoma or Michigan? I have Oklahoma 8, Michigan 10.
No, those are pretty much – I had them in that same ballpark. No issues there. So at this point, I know obviously who your top five is going to be. I'm interested to see what order they're going to be in.
Okay. So we'll go a little slower here. We won't do all five at once. Number five, Georgia.
Hey, we got one.
Yeah. Finally. It's about time. So, nice. So I got Georgia 5. I mean, you can't rank it below Florida. They've got more resources, I feel like, than Florida at this point. They have less competition in their state to recruit, I think, which matters too. I mean, at this point, you're not really like recruiting in state is a little overrated. I'm not trying to just completely nix my argument, but schools now you recruit regions more than you recruit states. It's just different than it was 20 years ago. It's nice to be able to say you're keeping kids home, but it's not as important as it was in the mid-90s when it just games weren't players weren't as exposed as they are now and things along those lines. I think it's just easier to go into another state and recruit. But yeah, Georgia's a better job than Florida. I looked up the revenue stats from last year. As far as athletic departments go, Georgia was 6th in revenue. Florida was 8th. So that's why I had them ahead of Florida. I'll go ahead and go number 4 just so you have something to argue about. I had Texas 4. Did you not have Texas at 4? You had them higher, didn't you?
This is going to be wild. I had Texas number 1.
Ooh, really?
Yeah.
Okay. I could see it. I mean, I thought long and hard about it. My 1 through 4 is all pretty tight. But
sure.
But yeah, I had Georgia behind Texas. All right, so you had Texas 1. I have Texas 4. Look, Texas has a lot of competition in its own state now. And I think the Texas brand has lost some of its luster over the last 10 years. In 2008, this was the best job in college football, easily. Alabama wasn't what Alabama is now, so they're not as much of a competition. I think USC back at that time probably would have been the other one. So those two programs, I guess, would have been splitting hairs. But I think there's a lot of competition in the state of Texas. You have LSU. You have the now Texas A&M in the conference, which has allowed the SEC to come in and recruit your area. I don't see Texas as the same recruiting powerhouse it once was. They should still have a top five class just about every year.
Sure.
But I think it's harder to dominate like they used to back in the day. So they were number 1 on that revenue statistic. They're still driving a lot of money.
Yeah, I just think the resources, the obvious brand name, though you're probably right, it's probably not what it was a decade ago. Austin is just an incredibly cool city, so you've got that as a built-in resource, which obviously so does USC. Interesting. Yeah, no, I have them number 1. I think that personally would be my choice because I love the city of Austin, and I have been to that stadium, and it's really, really cool. And I think there's quite an allure about Texas football, even with the competition for recruiting. I just think there's a lot going for it. Lots of more coaches, I think, could win at Texas than any other school.
You know, it's interesting because these coaches aren't yet
because they're
done
not.
It.
No, I know
they're
I know.
Not winning. Like, I don't get it. I mean, Charlie Strong's not a bad football coach. Charlie Strong has won everywhere he's been other than Texas. Yeah. And I know maybe, that there was – what?
Maybe the pressure is too high at Texas, yeah.
It's similar to the whole – I mean, all of these schools have a lot of pressure, so it's kind of hard to use that as an argument. I mean, all these schools in the top five, I mean. So, yeah, it is difficult to use that. But, I mean, Charlie Strong has won everywhere he's been outside of Texas. It's just kind of weird. And now Tom Herman Tom Herman is moving in the right direction. It's been a really weird year for him on and off the field. I wonder how long he is for that job with Ohio State potentially coming open in the near future. But that actually plays part into my next team. I have Ohio State number three.
Okay.
Sounds like we didn't have a match. You didn't go crazy.
No issues there.
Wait a minute. Okay. So wait, who do you – oh, okay. Well, where do you have Ohio State?
I had them at number six.
Wow. Whoa. You have Ohio State six.
I had Ohio State a little lower.
You're going to have to explain that one to me. That feels like an automatic top three job.
Well, probably. So, again, recency bias. I probably am buying too much into just the mess that they – and I'm probably overreacting to the Urban Meyer – mess and what have you. You're probably right. Ohio State probably should be top five. I'm overreacting. I have less interest in going and living in Columbus and more so living in the South or the Southeast. So
yeah,
you're probably right. There was a bolder take. Texas won and Ohio State six was a bolder take.
That's okay. Stand your ground. You don't have to agree with me.
I don't.
Okay, that's better. I like that. That's more like it. I have Ohio State three, most passionate fan base in the country, travel everywhere. They are – home field advantage is unmatched, resources unmatched, easier to win in the Big Ten East than the SEC West, easier to win in the Big Ten East than – well, I know this was supposed to be a great year for the Big Ten, but it just seems like most years they are – they should unquestionably be the best team in that division. And I'm sorry, Michigan fans, but Ohio State should be the best. They're the best program. They've had the most success. They've dominated Michigan for the last 20 years. They have surpassed Michigan to the point where, Michigan is going to nip on their heels from time to time. I think they're going to beat Ohio State in a week, but most years Ohio State's the team. I think that Ohio is one of the best states for recruiting, certainly the best in the Midwest. They own that state. I mean, just about anybody who's anyone from Ohio is going to go play for the Buckeyes. And there you can recruit nationally at Ohio State as well. They recruit Texas extremely well. They recruit Florida extremely well. To me, that's a top three program easily. When you talk about where can you win a national championship, I think Ohio State belongs in the top three. It's easier to win one there than it is at Texas in my mind, and even easier than Georgia. Part of the reason why I have Georgia below is they have to go through Alabama just to get there.
Right. So, all right. And I think long in terms of what is the best program, absolutely. In terms of what is the best coaching job tomorrow, I think I probably leaned on there because the coach might just have a headache with some off the field stuff.
That's true.
More so. So it's without a doubt is a top five, probably top three program. But in terms of if I could go anywhere and coach anywhere tomorrow, maybe I'm taking that part of the hypothetical a little too literally. I'm not going into somewhere where I have to deal with any sort of mess.
Yeah.
I want to go somewhere clean, go live in a cool city, make a lot of money and have good expectations.
Well, okay. So let's play that game for a second. I know you're not an insider. Probably. I don't know how much you keep up with it every week when you're too busy, you know, looking up stats and data for your teasers. But if Urban Meyer steps down into the year, which it doesn't sound like he's going to do, but you never know with that guy. He changes his mind with the wind. And given everything that's gone on, the names that have been tossed around, Matt Campbell from Iowa State, you have Ryan,
John Harbaugh.
Ryan Day. John Harbaugh, that would be amazing.
I've seen it tossed around.
It would be amazing. I don't think he would do – I think they're too close. I think the brothers are too close. I don't think he could do that to Jim. I think he would take the USC job. I think John Harbaugh could very well be the next coach at USC, but Harbaugh, Jeff Brohm, another guy.
Brohm is pretty much signed, sealed, delivered for Louisville, right?
Well, he is, but if hypothetically he hasn't put pen to paper yet, and Ohio State moves on from Meyer moves on from Ohio State.
Sure. Yeah.
And they say, hey, real quick, before you sign anything, let's talk. I mean, I feel like Brohm has to listen.
Oh yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know he's, yeah. you know, he's the hometown kid in Louisville and everything, but, anyway, I mean, do you think that that's like who would be the best fit at Ohio State in your mind of those guys? Like, what do you think would be the most exciting? Because there's not really Nick Saban and Dabo Swinney are too busy making the playoff and winning all the championships. There's not like a championship caliber coach out there like Urban Meyer was when he took over, you know, 6 years ago.
Right. I mean, Lincoln Riley would be the only one, but I don't think he would leave. I think he has more NFL aspirations.
Yeah.
If I know Lincoln, like I think I do.
Yeah, it feels like it.
I don't think you can rule out Larry Fedora. Scott Satterfield, I think, needs to get a look.
Okay. No bias here whatsoever.
No. I think Les Miles needs a call.
Wait. Hold on back.
Dave Doran, definitely. Yeah. He's got to at least be on the list.
I mean, what about Chuck Amato?
Bruce Pearl.
Oh, yeah. My sources tell me Bruce Pearl is flying to Columbus as we speak.
Yep.
It's an inside
Tom
joke
O'Brien.
That one person will get on this podcast.
Yeah. Hope Ben's listening.
Yeah.
I think Pearl's got to be on the list.
Tom O'Brien.
Let's see. Mac Brown, I think, probably still has a few years left in him.
Ooh, Mac Brown.
Just
Mac Brown,
a legacy guy that can carry the program over until the next guy's ready.
See,
Ruffin McNeil.
Oh, God. You're going too far. You were okay. You know, Mac Brown was one thing, Ross, but Ruffin McNeil is a little too far.
You know, that's fair. You're
See,
right.
This is so Les Miles is probably going to get this Kansas job. I don't know why, but he's going to get it. I mean, I like the hire, but it just,
yeah, that feels like a really good fit.
It is a good fit. And if he gets him to six wins, like that's a miracle. And honestly, that's all they really want at this point. But
yep.
I just want Les Miles to get that job and hire every old former coach who's just dying to get back in. I mean, Mac Brown, Gene Chizik, Houston Nutt, like bring them all back, make that the staff. I mean, if you're Kansas, what's the worst that can happen? I mean, you can't get any worse.
Sure.
Just hire every former SEC Big 12 head coach who's just looking for a job. Philip Fulmer, he's the AD at Tennessee now. He's probably not going to leave to be the O-line coach at Kansas, but...
Alabama's got a pretty promising intern who might be ready for an entry level position.
Butch Jones.
Yeah.
Bring him along. Exactly. That's a home run to me. All right. We're getting way off track here.
We are. I'm sorry. Hey, would you like to finish your list, Josh?
That's okay. So, all right. Number two. Who do you think I had number two? There's two schools left.
Yeah. I think you have USC number two.
I do. I have USC number two. I have USC number two. I have Alabama number one.
Yeah.
Alabama just is. It's Nick Saban has built in the infrastructure there. Where, I mean, if we're playing this hypothetical of the purge, and you just take over that team tomorrow, and you've got all those kids already
on
the
roster.
Well, that's true. I mean, you're gonna win immediately. It doesn't matter who the coach is, and that's enough to carry you over. When Dabo Swinney takes that job in a few years. They're just going to keep on rolling. It's national championships every year. I mean, I know that they haven't always been great. I mean, there was a period of time with probation and whatever where they weren't quite, one of the elite programs. But Nick Saban's built that to a level where I don't think there's any turning back. I mean, I know that there's Mike Shula's of the world and there's Mike Price's and, Dennis Franchione and all those guys. I just
– Right.
They you can't go wrong at Alabama anymore.
I buy it. Obviously, you can't argue with Alabama being number one in anything.
Yeah.
And I think any coach in our hypothetical draft would be dumb not to go there first if given the choice. So I agree with you. USC, I think I did not have them quite so high. Interested why you think they are still such an elite job.
So again, recruiting Southern California, they're going to own it. Other than South Florida, that's the best area for talent in the country. They're in the Pac-12. They're in the Pac-12. I mean, it's as simple as that. The competition in the Pac-12 South. I mean, USC has been downright awful this year, and I think the most painful part of that for them is that the rest of that division has been a complete wreck too. I mean, you're looking at Utah or Is it Arizona State now? I mean,
The Pac-12 really does suck.
There is a legitimate chance. I think there's actually a higher chance. There's a higher chance of a, I think, 5-way tie at 4-5 in the Pac-12 South for that division title than there is a tie for at 5-4. Like, there is a better chance that the team that wins that division has a losing record in the conference. Like, it is unreal. How bad that division has been. And, I mean, clearly USC has way higher of a ceiling than any other team in that division. So, to me, I mean, this is basically Clemson in the ACC Atlantic. This is better than Clemson in the ACC Atlantic.
Yeah,
this isn't even
better.
Florida State or Louisville to worry about. So, to me, it's like you get the right coach in there. I understand that Pete Carroll cheated his face off, and that it certainly matters, but – You can't tell me that living – you talk about your quality of life, living in L.A., coaching that program, you get that thing rolling. I mean, even in the Pac-12 North, your toughest competition every year is Stanford and Washington most of the time. I just feel like that is the conference that's ripe for the picking, and they're a private school. They're not hurt for cash. So I would take USC over even Ohio State and Texas.
Okay. Certainly easier to drop the bag from a private school, as our friends in Durham can teach us.
Yeah, well, no, you mean Pittsburgh.
Yeah, that's true. Lots of...
Oh, man. Anyway, a little basketball reference
for you guys.
Okay, hey,
I like that. I'm on board with that. I think that's a solid ranking. Like a couple points of difference that are probably really come down to just either personal preference or like how we were defining the best job. But I think it's interesting that our top 25 is generally, with some shuffling, we're pretty much the same schools.
Yeah, it feels like there is a top, to me, like 30 to 35 schools that definitely belong. You can kind of nitpick where you rank them. But, I mean, I do find it interesting, just to go back for 1 second, maybe the most interesting part of this whole thing, Virginia Tech, South Carolina, West Virginia, Louisville, and North Carolina, all good programs at certain times. Mm-hmm. Aren't top 25. I mean, those are all good schools. If any of those schools played for a conference championship or, you know, New Year's Six bowls, that would make sense. That wouldn't be some
most
big story or Cinderella run. And they're
pretty much besides, well, Louisville because Clemson's been so good, and South Carolina because other teams in that conference, Georgia basically has been so good. Pretty much all those teams have played for a conference championship in the last couple of years.
Right. Exactly, and they can't even crack the top 25. So it's kind of crazy to think about, but that was a fun exercise. I like that.
I had fun.
Yeah, good. Well, we both had fun. That's all that matters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still dear friends. So
we are.
All right, man. Well, hey, this was a little longer than our usual teasers. Hope everybody stuck around to listen.
Mm-hmm.
We might have.
I hope so too.
We might have a little change up in the cards for the listeners coming up soon. There's a new sport rolling around, so
stay tuned. Talk about aiming to tease, buddy.
That's right. All right. So could Zion Williamson play? Oh wait, no. We'll save that for next week.
That's a good segue. I love it.
All right, Rossi. Well, hey, we'll talk to you next week. And if you got the teasers and you want to throw them out on Twitter for the folks, don't be shy.
I won't. All right, Josh. I'm proud of you, big guy.
I'm proud of you.
Okay. See you.